Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground, where we enjoy a little self-therapy for the heart. I'm your host, Valerie, and shout out to BBS Radio. Your work is so important all around the world, and we thank you for it, BBS. We are letting our hair down every Sunday afternoon, calling our inner child out to play, serving up some slices of remembrance of who we really are. And you know, that comes in each and every moment, each and every choice, each breath that we take, friends, doesn't it? So for those keeping up, there's so much going on in the world and in our shift into a bold new future of the eternal now. There is so, so much going on. And never mind all the goings on of global affairs everywhere. That's the least of it, isn't it? We are racing through timelines now, apparently. You know, we want to go higher. And it's because of you. It's because of you. Most every bit of it is your good work, your mindfulness, your meditation, your focus on generating a consciously aware reality. Your Christ consciousness is showing through so brilliantly. And thank you for the anchor that is you. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we do, I cannot help myself, okay? I have to share the news of a new movie coming out on June 12th, on June 12th in America, a new movie called Disclosure Day, okay? And it is, friends. It is a super fun way to get the message out about a truth that many of us have not quite embodied yet. And it's a truth we need as we shift into a grander scale of, well, cosmic experience, I guess you would say. It's sort of like a puzzle piece that we need to propel us into life beyond the Thunderdome, so to speak, right? To coin a phrase from Mad Max. There is life beyond our experiencing, friends, waiting for us to invite it in. And by the way, for those of us who grew up watching Mork and Mindy, right? We have been patiently waiting for these times, haven't we? We already knew about the galactic nature of our universe, didn't we? And, you know, when I think about it, I'm pretty sure the cute little boy I had a crush on in elementary school was special that way. Yeah, and probably a couple of my art teachers too when I think about it. No surprises there. So the movie is called Disclosure Day, and it's a sci-fi movie, and you can catch a brilliant trailer on YouTube. Okay, Steven Spielberg is the creator of Disclosure Day, and he does this the trailer online, and at the end of the trailer, he ends it with the coolest line I have ever heard in a movie trailer. Okay, absolute coolest. And I really, really, really want to tell you what that last line is that he says, because it's so fabulous. He turns to the camera and he gives you this last line, and everybody's like, whoa. But you know what? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tease you a little bit so that you'll go into YouTube and you will listen for yourself. You might sort of jump out of your seat. I'm just saying. But it's very, very alluring. And I, for myself, cannot wait to go and watch this movie because this is the kind of thing I've been waiting to get my popcorn out for, right? I kind of sort of feel sorry for those of us who are kind of tired of eating the popcorn right now because I'm enjoying mine on June 12th, watching Disclosure Day. You know, like nature intended, on the big screen, right? Released worldwide, by the way. Okay, so we should all be able to go somewhere. And so take a friend. Get them to share your popcorn, right? It's what we've been waiting for. That's going to feel really good. Yes, folks are finally sharing our popcorn now, and we are going to love that. So I have asked the heavens for a message this week as the week has unfolded with a great energetic force. And you know, we have felt this force for a few weeks now, building and building and building. And for any Star Trek fans out there, it sort of feels like we're shooting across the galaxy in a warp drive right now when you sit and just feel it, right? You know, our faithful leaders are fast tracking our transformation. It must be the case. It must be the case. And we can certainly feel those energetics this week. You know, I think back to the Q movement when it first started. And the Q movement warned us that we would, all of us, share in an energetic priming of our spirits as we went along on this journey together, as a cosmic manner of waking us up, right? Without exception, all of us across the board in some way, right? And it's possible that we're all feeling the effect of those powerful cosmic energies at work right now, maybe in different ways, right? At varying levels, but it's on us, right? Every single one of us, I guarantee it, every single one of us, we're being hit by this beautiful, energetic expression of source consciousness just raining down on us, and it's so energizing. So if you are tired and you're worn out and you're like, I can't take any more, then rest, friends. Rest. Okay? And we talk about this. We talk about that word as something of a foundational attribute of what we're doing along our journey, right? On this road to creation consciousness or Christ consciousness or source consciousness, right? Or we could call it revelation or redemption or whatever we want to call it. Choose our story. And our good work is to know when to rest along the way, right? The weary mind is a rudderless ship. And we know this. The weary mind is a rudderless ship. So we rest, right? And funny enough, this word has sort of shown up again and again for a few weeks as something of a theme, this idea of rest. And along those lines, did you happen to catch that our president urged Americans to observe a national Shabbat together as a nation last month on May 15th and 16th? Did you know that? All of us, of every creed, every race, every religion, as part of the Jubilee celebrations that are moving us into the 4th of July. And it's the first proclamation of its kind in the history of America, apparently. Part of the reading for that particular Shabbat had to do with the rules for repentance for thieves and what's required for repatriation of stolen assets and that sort of thing. But what we know as the stated reason for the national Shabbat was to ask a nation to set aside dedicated time to rest. Okay, to rest. That's the primary message of Shabbat, rest. And here's the thing. I didn't know about any of this until I caught a little segment of the Roseanne Barr podcast. And honestly, I am something of a true stranger to current events. I just am not engaged in that part of reality that tells me that I need to be aware of current events as a set of goings on in a timeline. And I didn't know that any of this was going on until the podcast put it together for me. And as I was watching this podcast, the Roseanne Barr podcast, it puts something else together for me as well. And I'm talking about Roseanne as an anchor. Okay? An anchor, a spiritual anchor. And, you know, I don't share a lot of her worldview and not much of her religious experience or life experience. And I may not see some things the same way she does. But you know what, friends? None of that matters. Okay? We are all unique in our capacity to shine our light, right? To anchor the light in the darkness. And I watched a woman truly anchored in spirit in a way that is uniquely her own. And I literally have no idea how I came across the podcast, but I'm glad I did. Because Roseanne, she wields the power of knowing. And as you watch, you can see that, right? She is just sitting in her chair talking. And there is true power behind that. And she doesn't have to do anything but sit there with her knowing and anchor it to the ground, from heaven, straight into the ground, into the human experience. And I saw purpose in Christ consciousness in the modern age in a way that I don't see often. And I mean the energies of source consciousness being pulled into the human experience and shared. You know, the beingness of what anchors God to the human experience. And I sat back and I thought, how many of us are missing our mission? Maybe by searching for what we should be doing with their lives, right? Air quotes, what we should be doing with their lives, focused on things outside ourselves, right? Scrambling around, reaching for a way to put our hearts to work and trying to alleviate something of a torment we're feeling that has us working even harder to pray our limitations away or serve them away or work them off or think them off or numb them out, right? When the truth is, the torment is sort of a calling card from the dark that knows you as a particular asset in the evolution of dark to light. You are an anchor. And it's not because of what you do necessarily, but because of who you are in your knowing that translates the message of awakeness and awareness to the masses, who many of them maybe don't even get it yet, right? You are an anchor of a universal love, an anchor for equanimity and the one truth that we all need to move forward in our evolution, right? We need to push the ball forward, so to speak. You are an anchor of God's truth in this shared human experience that we are having. And maybe you're tired. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you are starting to question yourself, right? Maybe doubt is creeping in a little bit, right? It's been a long journey. And as long as it feels like to me, there are some folks who have been around this journey their whole lifetime, right? And, you know, if any of this is true for you, what do you need, friends? What do you need as a promise from God? As a promise from a nation that relies on your spirit's good work? From a planet that mindlessly siphons off the goodwill of your spirit's good work? What do you need? Well, you need rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. So I say, take it, friends. Take it from the president who offers it in a grand gesture for America and the world. Take it from the heavens. Take it from the truth you sit with. Find it when you need it, friends. Find rest. Accept the teachings that bring us back into balance and alignment and quiet calmness. And it's what we're doing this year together, isn't it? We are growing our wisdom as we experience new and better ways of doing things that create a wealth of experience that feels right to the spirit, right? And knowing grows for us, and we anchor in it, and we anchor it to the earth. And lo and behold, we're moving through space and warp drive, right, toward destination 5D, if you believe in that kind of thing, dimensions out there and new ways of being. It's good vibrations, friends. It's good vibrations. So wisdom says rest, okay, instead of doubting, instead of being weary, right? Rest. Refill your cup with peace and quiet and stillness and meditation that creates an observer in you, right? Where you don't have to do anything. And if you do, it's through observing the doing. Does that make sense? Free from the effects of it, right? And free from judgments of it, and free from the expectations of it. And as observers, we are truly free, right? We are free as experiencers, not to be attached to expectation. We can step outside of ourselves and just allow that observing of our beingness, right? One day, with your help, with what you know, we'll be a world not so determined to protect its limiting beliefs that it mistakes outcomes for energies. Ask any anchor in this human experience the outcome we tether to, and you already know what it is. It's peace. It's love. The answer's easy, right? Love is me. Love is me as you. And love is we. And it's no harder than that. We recognize that service to you is service to me. Kindness to you is kindness to me. Our giving is our assurance of receiving divinely. Can we see that? And some people who carry that message anchor the ground we walk on with the energy of God's love. And, you know, we keep trampling over them or walking around them or pushing past them, don't we? We work really hard to manifest in our lives good things when it comes so much more naturally when we serve peace and we serve love that creates good things in and of themselves. We serve the feeling of love and offer right action to show love. And what that means is small things matter. Yeah, it's the small things that matter, the little things, right? And we've heard this, little things matter, right? They are the mortar of a foundation building larger stones of ideas, right? The little things that are the micro expressions or the micro aggressions that make the most difference, because the micro mortars together our building blocks to what our larger worldviews and grander designs and vaster imaginings in our world. Do we see that? We are bodies built from the invisible micro unit of atoms in motion. We talk about it all the time. So too is our reality, built from the micro essence of the energies we choose to divine into society and community and governance and family and self, right? So little things matter more than anything because they underpin how we really feel, how we choose to use our energy. Right? They come out of the subconscious, which tells us the deepest truths of ourselves, right? Before we have time to think about it. And we know this. The little things reveal what we're doing underneath our conscious awareness, right? That either improve or detract from a shared field of reality. Those little things reveal our authentic selves, who we really are, what we're really focused on, and how well we offer right action to our intentions. What it really means when we follow through, right? So let's think about this. A hug matters. A smile matters. Opening a door for somebody matters, friends. Listening to each other matters. Asking, how can I help, matters. Saying, it's so good to see you this morning, matters. Saying, thank you, matters. And I'm so sorry, matters. Right? We sort of believe that grand gestures do the job. Right? Like dozens of roses on a special occasion are what truly reveals us, right? Our emotions, our intentions. But it's not, friends. What really reveals us is how often we stop to smell the roses on the bloom in the natural world around us, right? How aware we are of our neighbor's garden. And how able we are to sit in the midst of another's emotional desert and conceive of the bloom of our spirits, planting seeds of comfort and love around us, spread by pollen as renewal and well-being. That's what matters. Self-healing and sharing healing. So I was hoping that maybe we could talk about emotional deserts for just a moment. Do we know what an emotional desert is? It's akin to emotional neglect, right? And even emotional self-neglect. It's when our self-care has gone untended for so long that we are left high and dry on the inside, right? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever sat down somewhere, got quiet, undisturbed, and you realize that you don't feel anything? Like you're numb or you're burned out. Have you done that? Well, what could that mean? Right? What could that mean? Could it mean that our self-care is so low that we got nothing left? And I wonder if we can talk about that. So what's going on here, right? It's not just a matter of emotional burnout, friends, but of physical burnout too, that reaches a spirit that has a hard time conceiving of such things. What it means is our nervous system is shot. It's overstimulated to the point that it can't read the body's signals anymore. And that means it can't respond to them, right? It's a superhighway running through our bodies without any rules anymore. And so what happens is that emotional overload causes cognitive activations of chemicals in a process called a cascading or surging of energies and chemicals and fluids through our nervous system. And in many cases, blood is even redirected from other functions in the body and into the muscles just to take care of this chaos in the body, in order to, you know, assist in the cascading, because the body needs to be ready for what it anticipates as fight or flight. And we know all about this. Long-term cascading caused by stress and anxiety and depression and all kinds of stuff like that leads to complete dysfunction of the body. And we know this. Blood pressure increases, the immune system breaks down, the hippocampus loses its plasticity, right? And we become forgetful and unable to regulate rational thought, right? Neural pathways shut down, and pretty much life is reduced to a reptilian brain function, where we are in this environment of suspicion and safety issues and danger and psychological dis-ease. And most often, we either feel one of two ways. We feel hyper-arousal, which is panic attacks, or hypo-arousal, which is just numbing out, right? And we get it. At some point, the nervous system cannot regulate anymore. And those pathways of communication between the brain and the body and the spirit, yeah, the spirit, they shut down. And what was or might have been an emotional garden has dried up, and nothing can grow there anymore, right? Not good feelings or hopeful thoughts or positive vibes. And we feel the physical effects of an emotional desert, don't we? But take heart, friends, take heart. We can grow flowers again. We can do it. The spirit is a garden. The spirit is a garden, friends, where the rains of calmness and harmony and balance, they fall oh so gently onto the blooms of better days ahead. We can trust that. We can trust that, friends. So how do we do it? How do we self-heal the numbness or the panic? Well, we do what our spirits know how to do. We calm the tide of energies and fluids and chemicals running through our nervous system. We restore what anchors us, right? What provides our sense of trust in who we really are. We restore our safety. We restore our unity, our connection with spirit. We restore our conscious awareness so we can say we are anchored, we are safe, we are unified, and we are conscious. And, that can become a mantra for us to find our center again if we want. And how do we do that? Do you remember how we just talked about the small things counting? How the little things matter? We just talked about micro behaviors as the foundation or mortar of our authentic self. The doors we hold for others, right? The thank yous that we say. We are what we do in the little things. And this is how we restore a nervous system on the fritz, right? Through the little things that act as mortar for the foundation of us, of who we are. And we restore the micro regulations of the nervous system in doing that. It's a thing, friends, micro regulations of our bodies. Right? Micro regulations. The nervous system goes through continual, non-stop micro regulations. And we can begin to micro regulate the nervous system in different ways to rebuild and renew the flow of energy and emotions and chemicals and fluids through our bodies. It's not unlike our process of awakening when you think about it. And some of us are struck by lightning and awakened that way, I suppose, right? Aha, boom, we're awake all of a sudden. Kundalini kind of a thing that so many of us look forward to and work for. But for most of us, awakening is a reconstruction of our human design from the inside out by focused, purposeful, and calming actions that realign us with our spirit, that realign us in a new way of experiencing our spirit, source consciousness. In the body, right? We're talking about renewing the spirit as a matter of intention and right action and habit, right? Let's figure out how to renew our spirits in tough times, how to keep our balance and grow flowers in our energetic garden so we can share the fragrance of a better world, right? That's what we want to do. And like I said, children naturally express themselves that way until we're taught not to, right? In any number of less than helpful ways. But children express their feelings because they can't help it. If they're sad, they cry. And it takes some learning about how to self-regulate for children, right? But as adults, we're tempted and even told that we need to snap out of our negativity, that we shouldn't feel what we feel, right? And or we need to reframe our pain, right? Have you heard that one? We need to turn that frown upside down? Maybe. Okay, maybe. But it's not going to happen for us until we understand, really understand why we feel like we do. So there are steps for us to take, right? I was sitting next to somebody who was listening to an Elon Musk interview. And Musk said something that caught my attention. He said the best way to correct a problem is to ask why folks were doing things the way they did them that created the problem. And those are sort of my words as something of maybe a bad paraphrase, but that's what I heard. The idea is when we throw ourselves onto the couch at the end of a really hard day, or we find ourselves sitting with depression, or we hear ourselves saying negative things that just spill right out of our mouths, can we stop for just a moment and ask ourselves, why am I feeling this way? Right? Why am I doing what I'm doing to get the result of feeling like I do? Does that make sense, friends? And if we can avoid denying our part in our experience, right, and owning up to it, then we can make positive changes. We can build rockets differently, so to speak, like Musk liked to do, right? We can build those rockets differently. How will we do that? Well, we allow the feeling. We observe it. We ask about it. We become curious and we get really, really honest without blame. We feel what we feel and we observe it. Right? So, one of the most helpful micro alignments for the nervous system is to name our emotion openly and honestly. Okay, it's called name it to tame it. Name it to tame it. It's a psychological technique. It was created by the psychiatrist Dr. Dan Siegel. Name it to tame it. When we say out loud, as specifically as we can, how we're feeling, right? We're connecting the emotion center of the right brain with the language center of the left brain. And we're creating a new pathway and we are calming the mind. Okay? The process is called neural calming. Neural calming, and it works. And from what I understand, we are able to shift our awareness from being in the emotion we're experiencing to observing the emotion, right? And that's exactly what we want, isn't it? We want to harness the power of the observer within, right? Whenever we can, because the observer within has direct contact with spirit. Do we see that? When we can carefully and responsibly talk things out, name the emotion to tame the emotion, then we're tapping into spirit work that calms us and balances us, as we do the good work of recentering and normalizing our bodies. Does that make sense? It's a small thing that makes a really big impact. Do we see that? The observer within is also a good description for our vagus nerve that runs through our bodies. Our vagus nerve is sort of the observer within our body, and it does so, so much good work for us. Let's talk about the vagus nerve for a second, because what we're doing when we reset the nervous system is we're stimulating the vagus nerve so it communicates with our brains that everything is okay. Right? So the vagus nerve runs from the brain to the large intestine, and it deals with everything from our resting state to our digestion to our healing. And in fact, healing cannot occur in the body until the vagus nerve communicates to the brain the body's readiness to heal. Did you know that? The vagus nerve controls our nervous system in a way that signals the whole system when to shift from fight or flight back into rest and digest, right? And back again whenever we need to. And so our bodies don't really do both at once. Do we see that? So our nervous system is continuously deciding which posture the body needs to take. So does that make sense? And so how do we stimulate the vagus nerve into a feeling of calmness? Well, there are many, many ways to do that. So my first recommendation is do some research. You will be glad that you did. Take some time, find some ideas that work for you because it will be a great relief and a great opportunity for you to develop a meditative calmness for sure. We can talk about a few simple ways together right now, and I would love for you to get a list of a few really, really powerful things that we can do from today's conversation. And so the first thing that we're going to talk about, like we always do, is deep breathing. Okay? Always breathing, friends. Be all, end all. Everything starts with breathing, and we know this. The trick for stimulating the vagus nerve is to breathe in deeply and to make our exhales a little longer than our inhales. Okay? So if we inhale for a count of four, we breathe in for a count of four, then we want to exhale for maybe a count of seven. Right? Just a little longer. What this does is deepen our breathing because we're ready to equalize the breath, right? And we'll take in more oxygen because of the count, which means a deeper breath. Do we see that? So try it out, make it a habit, and see how it serves. And another way to stimulate the vagus nerve is through foot massage, right? And there are a number of ways to do that, but there's one super easy way that's very, very effective. It's as simple as gently pressing our thumb into the arch of our foot and massaging that arch of our foot, holding it in as a pressure for a few minutes. Right? And we can also pull our toes back and gently wiggle those toes around. That helps the vagus nerve as well. Super easy. And then we can get our feet on the bare ground for a while and we can ground with the earth because that too is a very effective way to help the vagus nerve calm our nervous system down. So, another thing we can do is called the 5-4-3-2-1 method. Okay? The idea is to bring us back into a present moment of awareness. Okay? And we want to move from being the experiencer of a stressful moment or a tense moment or a panicking moment to being an observer. So we want to go from being an experiencer of the stress and strain that we're under to being an observer. All right, does that make sense? And I'm quoting here. Take a moment when you need calming and do the following. Okay? This is the 5-4-3-2-1 method. First, identify five things that you can see around you. Right? Just five things. Name them out. Call them out. Five things you see around you. Okay? Then, four things that you can touch. Okay? Identify four things you can touch. Then, identify three things that you can hear. All right. And then identify two things that you can smell. Last but not least, identify one thing that you can taste. Right. And doing these things, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, brings the nervous system into a present state. Right? You are calming your nervous system because you are moving into a present state. You are taking the moment to be truly present, to observe what is around you, and it grounds you. It grounds your nervous system. Your vagus nerve can recalculate itself out of fight and flight because you are connecting your action with observations that get you out of your head, so to speak, if that makes sense. I hope it does. The awareness you create in your observations breaks the physical cycle of panic or anger or that thing that's causing fight or flight, essentially, right? Okay. Also, we can use temperature alterations to stimulate the vagus nerve. It's as easy as splashing cold water on our face, okay? Or taking a cold dip in a pool, or taking a cold shower, right? It really works to realign the nervous system very, very quickly. Another thing we can do is keep an ice pack for the back of our necks. So we can pull out the ice pack, use it on the back of our necks when we need it. Okay? Because temperature change quickly calms the nervous system. Okay? Just don't move your body into a fight or flight with extreme temperatures. Okay? Make sure it is a manageable change in temperature. Does that make sense? We don't want to get ourselves back into fight or flight, right? With something that is just too shocking and maybe too cold. Does that make sense? And another thing that's really easy and powerful is realigning through humming or singing. Okay, humming or singing. And I think our bodies tend to know these things naturally. If you find yourself doing this naturally, it's probably because you are tuned into what your physical body needs and you are going through this motion of finding a way to self-soothe or self-calm. The vagus nerve is connected to our vocal cords and it runs along our inner ear and vibration calms it. Did you know that? Right? So, therefore, naturally, humming or singing becomes a powerful reset for us. Right? So, play an instrument if you have it, sing along. Right? And it is very, very effective for calming our nervous system. Okay? Directly using contact points or impact points along the vagus nerve, there in the vocal cords and in the eardrum. And one last recommendation that I have, though there are many, many, many more, please, please do your research. You'll be glad you did. But one last recommendation is a video on YouTube. And it's by Dr. John Saunders, and it's called Quick Vagus Nerve Reset. Okay? Take a minute and watch the video because he's developed a really simple 3-minute fix that we can all learn and share. Okay, a 3-minute fix. Dr. John Saunders video on YouTube, right? Dr. John Saunders, Dr. John Saunders video is called Quick Vagus Nerve Reset. It's a 3-minute nervous system reset. Always good to have. Always good to have a very quick way to realign ourselves, and super easy. We can teach it to our children. We can share it with friends and family. All right. So we have a naming and taming exercise we can do. We have a deep breathing exercise we can do. We have foot massage, right? Thumbs on the inside of our arches. We have cold water measures that we can do. We have the 5-4-3-2-1 method that we can try. And we've got this great video that we can watch, which I highly recommend. Take a minute and watch that. Learn the process for a quick 3-minute nervous system reset. So maybe we are ready to grow flowers again as we hike out of our emotional deserts, right? And into lovely gardens of self-healing, right? And maybe we can remind ourselves why we might use these kinds of hacks for calming the nervous system. So I started the show talking about a special kind of person, the anchor, right? Whose power may not come from the things we get out and accomplish in our day, but whose power comes from being who we are, being who you are, right? On the inside, as you pull in your conscious awareness, you tether it to source, you ground it into the human experience, right? Anchoring consciousness into our shared field of reality. And that kind of power really requires regulation and upkeep and protection, right? Self-care, friends. It requires us to stay in touch with our inner landscape, as it were. So we're blooming as flowers in a spiritual garden of harmony and wholeness and balance, and not in a desert, right? And I hope that makes sense, friends. I hope we'll decide to try some things out and build what works into the pruning we do that lets us experience growth in consciousness. And it's little steps we're doing, right? It's the little things, remember? What's called micro-regulation can become healthy micro-habits for calming us down and realigning and finding our rest, right? We just need to choose to build these things into our life experience. And it's stuff we like to talk about, and not many of us get around to actually doing in our day, right? So what is one sure way to do that? To remember our self-care? Well, we set aside some dedicated time to rest. To rest. And that means trusting, which is something of a heavy pull for me, really. Sometimes. But isn't it important to trust in who we are? And of course it is. And we procure our powers of observation, right? Of observing the self, of being the watcher of the self, so that we are managing our emotion. We are managing what our physical bodies are doing. We are managing how well our spirit is pulled in and tethered to source. These things come from powers of observation, of observing the self, right? Of being the watcher of the self, as Osho puts it. And he actually wrote a book called Meditation. The first and last freedom. Meditation, the first and last freedom. That's the title. And as a matter of fact, you can download a free PDF copy of this book online from Internet Archive. That's where you can find it. Internet Archive. Okay. Meditation, the first and last freedom. Internet Archive will let you download a PDF copy. So get your coffee, become watchers of your own consciousness. You'll be glad that you do. And as we end our time together today, friends, I just wanted to share just a little idea from the book, from Osho's book. It's a segment called The Flowering of Meditation. The flowering of meditation, right? Meditation, and this is a quote, meditation is not an Indian method. It is not simply a technique. You cannot learn it. It is a growth of your total living, out of your total living. Meditation is not something that can be added to you as you are. It cannot be added to you. It can only come to you through a basic transformation, a mutation. It is a flowering. A growth. Growth is always from the total. It is not an addition. Just like love, it cannot be added to you. It grows out of you, out of your totality. You must grow toward meditation. And that's from Osho's book that I just mentioned. Free PDF, a wonderful book. At the end of the book, Osho provides a number of guided meditations, many, many different kinds of experiences of guided meditations. I think you're going to enjoy them. You know, I love hearing about the human experience through metaphors on flowers. I can't help it. And I love you too, friends, and I hope you know that. And it's so wonderful to spend time with you on Sunday afternoons. Let's grow toward greater meditation on our peace and call it our rest. How about that? And for now, it's time for me to go home to my own garden. And I want to thank you so much for being with me today. And thank you too, BBS, so much for being with us. We love you, BBS. So until next time, friends.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.